Welcome to Faith and Victory Church, an active, non-denominational Christian church in Auburn, Washington. A warm, casual environment where everyone is welcomed, with a great kids ministry, live worship music, and pastors Matt and Crystal Krichunas. Faith and Victory Church is all about the Bible and worshiping Jesus. You're invited to visit one of our services in person, Sundays at 9 and 11. But for now, thanks for joining us here for this Spirit-filled message.
There was a rift, and somebody in my family told my dad that I wish I'd never met him. And so I called them up, and I said, why would you say that? And they said, well, that's what you said. And I said, that's not what I said, because I would never say that. Like, I don't remember not just saying that. I said, that's nothing I would never say. That's not in my heart. So I know I would never say that. And I said, I've been with you 6 years. Do you not know me? Because when you say I said that, you don't know me. That's not my heart. You don't know who I am. I would never say that. And so I thought about our relationship over the last 6 years, and the relationship had been them always coming to me and telling me their problems and crying on my shoulder, but they never asked about me. And I said, yeah, I guess they wouldn't know me. They never asked what was in my heart. They never asked how I felt about anything. I always heard what they felt. We're going to hear about this today in John chapter 14. We're continuing in the story of John. Last week, Pastor Matt talked about Jesus being the way, the truth, and the life. The way, the truth, the life. The only. If you missed that sermon, you need to listen to it because it was powerful. It was really good. It's online. Go to it. Listen to it. So we're continuing in John chapter 14, starting in verse 7. And Jesus says, if you had known me, you should have known my Father also, and from henceforth you know him and have seen him. So Philip said to him, Lord, show us the Father, and it is sufficient for us. And Jesus said, have I been with you so long, and yet you have not known me, Philip? And I hear Jesus saying this, have I been with you that long? I've been with you this long, and you don't know me. And he says, he who has seen me has seen the Father. So how can you say, show us the Father? Do you not believe that I am in the Father and the Father in me? The words that I speak to you, I do not speak on my own authority, but the Father who dwells in me does the works. Verse 11. Is there another one? Believe me that I am in the Father and the Father in me, or else believe me for the sake of the works themselves. Right, so what does this mean? Well, Jesus is having his last discipleship class, if you will, with his disciples. He is fixing to go to the cross. And so the men that have been with him for 3 years, he's having little, you know, this meeting with them, pouring the last of what he wants to get into them, right? So this is what's going on here. And so we come to this place where he says, you know, Philip, do you not know me? So what does it mean? The first thing that it means is that Jesus and the Father are one. Okay? Jesus said this. He said, he that has seen me has seen the Father. Okay? He that has seen me has seen the Father. Look at Exodus 33:20. Now this is Old Testament. If I don't know, Exodus is Old Testament, right? So God says, you cannot see my face, for no man shall see me and live. So he told Moses this. He said, you cannot see my face, for no man can see God's face and live. And here's Jesus saying, he that has seen me has seen the Father. He's the very image of the Father. He was the very image of him, right? No man can see God and live, but he says, if you've seen me, you've seen the Father. So he's the image of the Father. Jesus was fully God and fully man. Isaiah 9, chapter 6. A lot of people know this. This is one that's said at Christmas time all the time, right? For unto us a child is born, unto us a son is given, and the government will be upon his shoulder. His name will be called Wonderful, Counselor, Mighty God, Everlasting Father, Prince of Peace. So the Old Testament scripture said the Messiah was going to be called the Everlasting Father. Okay? Isaiah 43:11. God here says, I am the Lord, and besides me, there is no Savior. Y'all know where I'm going with this next, right? God said, there is no Savior besides me. Okay? Acts 5:31. He's talking about Jesus here. Him, God has exalted to his right hand to be Prince and Savior. So either God was lying, or Jesus is, and the Father are one. Jesus is God, right? Amen. That's the only conclusion you get to. Y'all know that God cannot lie? I preached that one time. I preached a message on God cannot lie, that God was truth, that he cannot lie. And someone wrote to me afterwards, sent me an email and said, well, then you're saying there's something God can't do. You should say God doesn't lie. And I said, well, that's not true, because the word of God says that it is impossible for God to lie. Therefore, he cannot lie. It's not in him. He can't. It's impossible. So when we read this, it's impossible for God to lie. When he says, there is no other Savior besides me, it's impossible for him to lie. Okay? 2 Corinthians 5:19 says, God was in Christ reconciling the world to himself. Right? God was in Christ reconciling the world to himself. I'm showing you a bunch of scriptures here. 1 Timothy 3:16. And without controversy, great is the mystery of godliness. God was manifest in the flesh, justified in the spirit, seen by angels, preached among the Gentiles, believed on in the world, and received up in glory. It doesn't say Jesus. You can't separate them. Jesus and the Father are one. God was manifest in the flesh, justified in the spirit. Right? We can't separate them. Seen by angels, preached among the Gentiles, believed on in the world, received up into glory. Right? Isaiah 42:8. I am the Lord, that is my name, and my glory I will not give to another. So he says, I will not give my glory to another. John 17:22. Jesus said, and the glory which you gave me, I have given them. So Jesus was in the glory of the Father, right? You can't separate them. They're one. He that has seen me has seen the Father. They are one. Do you get the picture? Right? If anyone tells you that they fully understand God, they are lying. Because when we read these scriptures, as much as I can understand God, I don't fully understand that. I don't fully understand how he's Father, Son, and Holy Spirit, and he's one. Hear, O Israel, the Lord our God is one. Right? I don't understand how he's in heaven and he lives inside me. Right? So when someone says, well, this is who God is, and I'm like, really? Because he is indescribable. He is the ultimate. He is the great I am, and I am his creation. He is creator. I am creation. Right? So all of this has to go on faith that just says, I believe God's word. I believe what's said about him, and I just believe it. Well, I need some proof. I don't know. I don't know what to tell you. But this is what God says. And I'm 100% fully convinced that it's the truth. And that God is who God says he is, and I just believe it. And if God says I'm everywhere, then he's everywhere. If God says he's in you and he's in me, then he's in you and he's in me. If God says he's too big, that the heavens can't handle him and the earth is his footstool, well, then that's who he is. And we can't always wrap our mind around it. Don't try. Just believe the word and say, well, you know what? This is what the word says, and I'm just going to believe it. Period. Right? Because we start arguing with people. You start going here and start going there, and it just gets ugly. I'm done arguing with people about the word of God. Seriously. The word of God is the word of God. It stands on itself. I'm just done. We'll never fully understand God until we get to heaven. And maybe not even then. Maybe he just says, eh. Welcome, but I'm not going to share everything with you still. Who knows, right? We have to believe what his word says about him. What else does the scripture say? Philip had spent 3 years at this point with Jesus. And Jesus is concerned that Philip still doesn't know him. Right? He says, have I been so long with you that you don't know me? Was Philip just watching from a distance? Was he just part of the gang? Part of the discipleship group? Along for the ride? Maybe he's enjoying the company? Huh? Doing what others did because it made him feel good? I don't know. I just know what Jesus said to him. He said, have I been so long with you and you still don't know me? But this is what I know, that it's possible to spend time around someone and still not know them. It's possible to spend time with someone and still not know them. Right? We have a pastor here in town, Pastor Pat, and I love Pastor Pat. He's a great man. And in a sense, I know him because, I've been around him for 7 years. I've been in groups with him. We've chatted on Facebook. I've had conversations with him. I've been over to preach at his church, and I've met his people. But you know what? I don't know what he likes and doesn't like. I don't know what makes him laugh. I don't know what makes him cry. I don't know what makes him do the things that he does. I don't know how he feels about his family. I don't know these things because I haven't spent that time with him getting to know him. Now, if you'd ask my husband would say, no, I know him. I know him. We're good friends. I can tell you what hurts his heart. I can tell you what makes him laugh. I can tell you what makes him angry. I can tell you what makes him do the things that he does. I get him. Right? It's possible to spend time in church, spend time hearing the word, spend time around God's people, and still not know Jesus. It's possible. Jesus said it was. Matthew 7:21-23. He says, not everyone who says to me, Lord, Lord, shall enter the kingdom of heaven, but he who does the will of my Father in heaven. Many will say to me on that day, Lord, Lord, have we not prophesied in your name, cast out demons in your name, and done many wonders in your name? And then I will declare to them, I never knew you. Depart from me, you who practice lawlessness. Jesus says himself on that day, I never knew you. Now, I don't know about y'all, but when I get up there, I want to hear, well done, my good and faithful servant. I don't want to hear, depart from me, I never knew you. I wonder, do you know him? These people thought they knew Jesus, but he says, you never knew me. I never lived inside you. You never listened to me. You didn't know my heart. You never did my will. He says, you never knew me. There are two kinds of know in the Greek. One is a casual sense, right? Casual knowing of someone, right? That you meet an acquaintance, you meet in a setting like some of you guys here know me in a casual sense. Okay? Now the other know is an intimate knowledge. It's an intimate understanding. It's intimate perceiving of someone. It's what I like my husband and I say, it's, I get you. My husband will say that a lot. My husband's very sarcastic, which probably most of y'all know, but, you know, I have spent so much time with him. I know his heart, and when he says something, People take it wrong all the time. They do. And he says, honey, you're the only one who gets me. Right? And that's that knowing is, man, you get me. You know my heart. You understand my heart. You understand where I'm coming from. And you know that even if I say something wrong, you know my meaning behind it. You understand my motives. Right? You get me. Right? And that's what Jesus says. He says, I want you to get me. I want you to know me. I want you to understand me. I want you to understand my heart. I want you to understand my will. I want you to understand my ways. I want you to get me. That's what Jesus says to us. Because here it clearly shows that people may proclaim a gospel, that in the name of Jesus, they drive out demons, they perform miracles, they do great things, but in reality, they don't know him. He says it. He said, you never knew me. I don't care what you did. You didn't know me. You didn't get me. Now, Philip eventually gets to know Jesus, right? As we see in Scripture. But, you know, I was thinking maybe it took Jesus dying on the cross that Philip could say, now I get him. Now I understand him. Now I understand why he did what he did and he went where he went and he said what he said. I get him. Right? I get him. So what does it mean to you? The first thing is that we must believe that Jesus is who he says he is according to the Bible. According to the Bible. Thank you, sister. Verse 10, he said, the words that I speak to you, I don't speak of myself. He said, I'm speaking from the Father. John 8:24, Jesus says this. He says, therefore I said to you that you will die in your sins, for if you do not believe that I am he, you will die in your sins. He's talking about if you do not believe that I am, like Pastor talked about last week, I am the great I am. I am the Alpha and the Omega, the beginning and the end. I am the first and the last. I am the Messiah. I am the Almighty Father. I am the one great God and creator of all things. This is what he says. Unless you believe I am that Jesus, you will die in your sins. The gospel of Jesus is defined and revealed in the Word of God, in the Bible. Look at Galatians 1, verses 8 and 9. It says, but even if we, right? So even if the disciples here, that's what they said. Even if we or an angel from heaven preach any other gospel to you than what we have preached to you, let him be accursed. As we have said before, so now I say again, if anyone preaches any other gospel to you than what you have received, let him be accursed. That word accursed in the Greek literally means they fall under a curse. If it's any other gospel than what's in the Word of God. The gospel of Christ is defined and revealed in the Bible, folks. This is the gospel, the whole word. Any teachings, doctrine, or ideas originating from persons, churches, or traditions and not expressed or implied in the Bible is not included in the gospel. It doesn't matter what someone comes up with. If it's not in the Bible, it's not Christ's gospel. His gospel is the whole Word of God from Genesis to Revelation. It's the whole thing. The whole Word of God. The whole counsel of God. I mean, Jesus isn't just in the New Testament, folks. He's in the Old Testament, too. The whole Word of God. Even in Revelation. I know some of y'all don't like to read Revelation, but you need to because it's part of the gospel of Jesus Christ. The whole Word of God. The whole counsel of God. If it's not the Jesus of the Bible, then it's not Jesus. That's simple. If it's not the Jesus of the Bible, it's not Jesus. Then it's some made up, pieced together Frankenstein Jesus. If it's not the Jesus in the Bible, it's not Jesus. John 7:38, Jesus says here, "He who believes in me, as the scripture has said, out of his heart will flow rivers of living water." As the scripture has said. Jesus refers to the scripture because it's the very word of his Father and therefore the supreme authority for his life and teaching. Right? He says, "The words that I speak to you, I don't speak of myself." The Bible, as God's revelation, carries the same authority as if God himself were speaking to us directly. It's the authority. It's what we have. We're people of the book. Right? Now, a year after I was saved, and I've been saved for, March will be 20 years that I've been saved, serving the Lord. Amen. And I'm looking forward to the day when I have been serving him longer than I was without him. And I can't wait for that day that I've been with him longer than I've been without him. And it's coming up shortly. I'm 42, so there you guys. If you want to do the math in your head. So I had been saved for about a year, and I was in a worship service, and it was a five-hour worship service. Yeah, so you see, I know people say that, and I said, you know, some people watch TV for 5 hours. We can't give God 5 hours on a day to worship, you know. Yeah. That's beside the point there, brother. So I was in this worship service for 5 hours. And, you know, back then I was so broken. I was so broken. I mean, I was literally rock bottom. I just wanted to be in his presence every chance I got. I just needed to be healed so bad. I needed to be around him. And so I was at this worship service, and the Lord spoke to me, and it was midnight, and he said, "Crystal, I am so pleased with your worship. Ask what you want of me, and I will give it to you." Now listen, I am nothing, okay? And I can do nothing on my own. I'm only up here because the Spirit of God inside me, and this is what he's called me to do, okay? I cannot do anything of my own accord. He is so wonderful, and he's powerful, and whatever he's done for me, he will do for you. Okay? I mean, we jokingly call myself the chief of all sinners, okay? And so I asked him at this point, I said, "God, all I want is to know you. I want to know you, and I want to know your word." And boy, he came in, and I have such an understanding and revelation of the word of God, and it's not me. Okay, I put in the time of getting into his word and studying his word and meditating on his word, but it's only through a gift of the Holy Spirit that I can understand it the way I understand it. And he has given me such a revelation into his word, and all I said is, "I want to know you." And so he said, "I'll let you know my word." And as I begin to get into his word, and I would spend hours and hours and hours in the word of God, studying the word of God and meditating on the word of God so that I could know him and know what he says about things, right? And I would hear something and I'm like, "That's not what the word of God says." I knew. A preacher would say something and I'm like, "That's not what the word of God says." And listen, there's great preaching out there, right? But you got to be careful what you hear. You got to be careful what you read. There's great books out there, but you got to be careful what you read. See, you know, the men in the book of Acts, the men of Berea were more noble than other people because when they came to their area, they searched the scriptures to find out if what was going on was of God. They searched the scriptures. And see, people hear something, it's like, "Oh, well, let me go see what John MacArthur says. Let me go see what Calvin says. Let me go see what this guy says. Let me go see what this guy says." Folks, if you have the Holy Spirit and the Word of God, that's what you need. Amen. That's all you need. And we can find out what God says. Amen. Because everything we need for life and godliness is in this book. Amen. "Thy word have I hid in my heart that I might not sin against you." That was one of the very first scriptures I memorized. King David said that. He said, "Your word have I hid in my heart that I might not sin against you." And so I began hiding God's word in my heart. Right? And that takes time. It takes time reading, meditating on, memorizing his word. Be careful what books and authors you read. Right? You know, there's the old big thing of Calvinism and Arminianism. And I remember when I met Matt, you know, he asked me, "Are you this or this?" And I said, "I don't know what that is." I didn't. I said, "I don't know what that is. I'm what God says I am." You know, because we can get sidetracked and you start following a man instead of following the man. Okay? Be careful. Be careful. Jesus is the whole word of God, not just the gospels and the red letters. The whole word. You have to settle this as fact. The Bible is the word of God, written by the hand of God through man. To limit or disregard its inerrancy is to impair its divine authority. Look at 2 Timothy 3:16-17. All scripture. Now does this say all? What does your Bible say? Because my Bible says all. Did yours say all, sister? Right? All? All? All scripture. Beginning to end, Genesis to Revelation, and everything in between, not just words in red. All scripture. All scripture is given by inspiration of God, and it's profitable for doctrine, for reproof, for correction, for instruction in righteousness, that the man of God may be complete, thoroughly equipped for every good work. That means that everything in here we can use for life. His divine power has given us everything we need for life and godliness through the knowledge of him who's called us. So in the Holy Spirit, through the Holy Spirit and the Word of God, we have everything for life. Everything. Everything. 2 Peter 2:21. Knowing this first, that no prophecy of Scripture is of any private interpretation, for prophecy never came by the will of man, but by holy men of God spoke as they were moved by the Holy Spirit. That's why I said it was written by God through men. Right? And this, folks, you have to get this down in your spirit as revelation. It's got to be that rhema knowledge where you said, this is, it's true. It's true. Because this, folks, this is our foundation. This is how we know who Jesus is. This is how we know who Jesus is. Without a strong conviction of the Holy Scriptures, the church has no true and sure foundation of faith. There's no certainty of salvation. There's no moral absolutes. There's no expectancy of the baptism in the Holy Spirit and working of miracles and signs in our lives. There's no hope for the return of Christ. There's no absolute an objective truth based on the authority of God by which to judge and reject the ever-changing values of this world, the human philosophy and culture's ungodly practices. Without a strong conviction of the Holy Scripture, Christians will not be able to withstand the extreme difficulties of the last day. The full authority and teaching of the Bible are weakened and replaced by subjective religious experience or by independent and critical reasoning. You got to be firm in this. We got to be firm in this, right? Deuteronomy 4:2. You shall not add to the word which I command you, nor take from it, that you may keep the commandments of the Lord your God, which I command you. This is also reiterated in the book of Revelation. So he says it in the beginning and in the end. You can't add to it, and you can't take away from it. So that means all of it. If he says you can't add to it and you can't take away from it, that means all of it. It's a blanket statement, right? All. Right? All scripture. All scripture. We cannot have a careless attitude about the word of God. We cannot choose to believe only certain parts of God's revelation and reject other parts as unworthy or untrue. Because it's either all true or it's not all true. Because it cannot be all true and not all true at the same time. It's either one or the other. Yeah, it cannot be both at the same time. It cannot be both true and untrue at the same time. And nowadays, people are just picking and choosing what they like and what they want to hear, ripping out other pages, adding stuff into it. Right? Folks, we are people of the Word. Right? We got to believe the Word of God. It is our sure foundation. Failure to take the Word of God with absolute seriousness is a matter of life and death. Just look at Adam and Eve. Right? What did God say to Eve? Or what did Satan say to Eve? Satan said, did God really say? Iris knows this one. We talk about it all the time. That's the first lie. Did God really say? Look where it got Eve. Right, women? Pain in childbirth. We're like, thank you for that, lady. And that's how Satan comes in now. Even now, we read the Word of God, and he says, did God really say? Did God? Yes, he did. God says what he means, and he means what he says. There are great promises in the Word of God, but there's also great warnings in the Word of God. And God means what he says. Yes, God really said. Yes, he really meant what he said. It's either all true or none. Now, the second thing is we need to spend time getting to know him. And we get to know him by spending time in his word and in prayer. I was listening to this Russian pastor this week, and it was not the one at the other church. It was a different Russian pastor. And he came to the United States, and he was over here for a while, and then he decided he wanted to get his vehicle license, right? His driver's license. And so he went and got him the driver's license manual, and he goes, I read through the manual. I went, took the test, and he goes, and I failed. He said, so I go back home. I skimmed through my manual again. I go back. I failed again. He said, I did it three times. I like to tell you that I passed, but I didn't. I failed. He goes, then I realized that they gave me a manual because they wanted me to study that manual because all the answers were in the manual. Hello? Hello? You can't just read the Bible. Well, I read it once. That's good. You're not going to know what it says. If you just look through it and skim and you take things out of context, you don't read everything before it and everything after it and everything around it, you're not going to know what it says. You're not going to know what it means. We have to study it. We got to be in it. Meditating on the Word of God is life. The Word of God is life. Through his word, we find out what he loves and what he hates. We find out what is good and what is sinful. We find out how to love and how to be loved. We find out about his grace and his mercy. We find hope. We find strength. We find power. We come to understand who he is, what his character and attributes are. We learn that he is good. He is love. He is merciful. He is gracious. He is compassionate. He is patient. He is truth. He is faithful. He is just. He is righteous. He is holy. Amen. We learn that he is omniscient, omnipotent, omnipresent, and indescribable. He is transcendent, eternal, and unchangeable. Amen. He is King of kings and Lord of lords. I wonder, do you know him? That's good, huh? Ooh, I get excited about that. You got to spend time in his word, and you got to spend time in prayer. And I'm not just talking about these popcorn prayers where you sit down and say, oh God, please do this, or God, do that, and I'm driving, and God, I need you to do this, and I got you to do that. Listen, talk to God all day long. That's fine. I'm not talking about don't offer up those popcorn prayers, but you need to spend quality time with him. You need to spend time in his presence. You need to spend time getting to know him. You need to spend time allowing him to love you. See, because if we don't allow him to love us and heal us, we go through life bleeding with a big gaping wound, and we go hurting, and we're hurting, and we hurt everywhere, and we hurt everybody we come across because we haven't allowed him to heal us. We don't spend time in his presence. Folks, and that's all prayer is. Prayer is conversation with God, getting to know him. It's communication. It's two-way communication, right? Not one way, two-way. God, I love you. And he said, let me love you. Sometimes, you know, sometimes God just tells me, shut up, Crystal. Just shut up and let me love you. Right? Let him love you. Let him wrap his arms around you. But you got to carve out some time. And not just once a week. It's got to be an everyday thing. I get up an hour before my household every morning so I can be in his presence, so I can seek his will for the day, so I can have him fill me up. Because listen, you cannot do it on your own strength. I said, God, I need your strength. I need your power today. I need your wisdom. Fill me with your spirit today, every day. Lord, what would you have me to do for you today? Send me where you want me to go. What is your will? Right? Being in the Word of God, allowing his Word to speak to you, to speak to your situation. Because the Word of God will speak to you. It will speak to your situation. It is life. Right? These are God-breathed words. So they're life. They're powerful. It's not just a book. It's just not words on a page. It's life. They're life. And it's beautiful. But you got to make the time. You have to. We cannot do it on our own strength, folks. Prayer will build faith. Prayer will move mountains. Prayer changes lives. Prayer heals the sick, raise the dead. Just today as I coming in, Sister Becky comes out, she's like, man, Pastor, your prayers were powerful. God answered in a miraculous way. That's what he does. He is awesome. He is great. He is miraculous. Right? But we got to spend time in his presence. Folks, he wants to know you. He wants to know you. He wants to get you. And he wants you to get him. He wants you to get him. Now the last thing is, what does it mean to you? That any work of the Holy Spirit will exalt Jesus as Lord. See, Jesus said to Philip in this last part, he said, if you don't believe my words, at least believe me for the work's sake. Look at my works. At least believe me for the work's sake. In 1 Corinthians chapter 12, verse 3, it says, therefore I make known to you that no one speaking by the Spirit of God calls Jesus accursed, and no one can say that Jesus is Lord except by the Holy Spirit. Now, I have to explain a minute. Now, chapters 12, 13, and 14 are talking about the gifts of the Holy Spirit, okay? Those chapters are talking about the gifts of the Holy Spirit, the working of the Holy Spirit. So this does not mean that someone cannot physically say the words, Jesus is Lord. Anybody can physically say the words, Jesus is Lord, okay? That's not what it means. It means that the manifestations of the Holy Spirit, the works of a spirit through a person, will always cause that person to exalt Jesus as Lord. That's what it means. So if someone is going about saying that they're doing things in Jesus' name, but in their life they're not exalting Jesus as Lord and King, then it may not be of God. So Jesus says, the Holy Spirit will exalt me as God. Does that make sense? It will exalt me as God. The ultimate criterion of the Spirit's activity is an ever-growing expression of the person, presence, power, love, and righteousness of our Lord Jesus Christ. The Spirit will exalt Jesus as who he is according to the Bible. The workings of the Spirit exalt Jesus as Lord. Does that make sense? Amen. Jan's going to play something on the piano for us. And you know what? I just want to take a minute and listen. You can close your eyes, and I'm not going to ask you to raise your hand. I'm not going to ask you to look at me, and I'm probably going to close my eyes too. Because this is between you and God, and he knows, okay? But be honest with him. If you don't know him, Man, today you can get to know him. He's here. The Holy Spirit's here. Man, he was strong first service and he's still here. If you need to get to know Jesus, so on that day when you die, you're going to go before him and he's either going to say, "Well done, my good and faithful servant," or he's going to say, "Depart from me, I never knew you." You need to know him. And today, you say, "Lord, I want to get to know you. Help me." And he will come rushing in. He will come rushing in. Man, as soon as you say, "Lord, I need you," he comes rushing in. "God, I can't do it without you." He will come rushing in. "Lord, I need a savior," and he will come rushing in. "Lord, I need a helper," and he will come rushing in. Hallelujah. Father, we just ask you today to speak to your people, Lord. And if they don't know you, God, they would get to know you. Lord, let today be the day they begin getting to know you. Putting the word in their hearts, God. Put the word in your heart that you might not sin against him. Get to know him. Get in his word. Sit in his presence. Get to know him today. Just take a little bit of time. Don't worry about it. We still got lots of time. Just take a little bit of time. Just talk to him about where you're at and what's going on. Hallelujah. Father, thank you for this word, God. Thank you for your word. Thank you for your ways. Come do your work, Holy Spirit. Come clean.